to WRAF's award-winning Night Call, Detroit's longest-running phone-in talk show with Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan. Peter and Jolene will be voicing their opinions, and they want to hear yours. Call them at 313-298-WRIF. That's 313-298-9743. Now, here are Peter and Jolene.
Thank you very much, and another welcome to you. Another Sunday, another Night Call means you get to get on the air. 313-298-WRIF.
Hello, Peter.
Oh, yes, we didn't even say hello, and I've already got you doing the mechanics of the show, right?
We are not robotic.
No,
I know. We go with the flow here, but
We are people.
We are people. No, as I believe it was Kathy from Detroit who called in last week, said that she recognized that I am human.
Well,
I've been telling everybody.
My last on-air partner was a cyborg. That's why she said that. And she always agreed with me.
Anyway, I agree with you most of the time.
Yeah, the cyborg agreed with me all the time.
Yeah, well, that's how that goes,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
313-298-9743 is the number.
And if you're not getting all this completely, it's a phone-in talk show. WRIF sets this time aside from all the great rock and roll in order to let you express your opinions about what's going on in the world. We're going to be talking a lot about the health care, Obamacare, again, and a lot of other issues as well. One of the things you can hook into what Jolene and I are doing throughout the week is through our Facebook page, facebook.com/nightcall. You can always email us at calltalkyes@yahoo.com and my website, Peter Werby, WERBE.com.
I put up a really groovy picture of you today on our Facebook page. Everyone should check it out. It's Peter. He was in. He was part of a gallery. Show.
Bruce Giffen, an incredible Detroit photographer who did tons of covers for the Metro Times, a weekly paper here in Detroit, and also a lot of the internal stuff as well. And he's always one of these shutterbugs. He's always out there. Taking photographs.
I love these guys and gals.
Yeah, and he's quite a guy. And so he has an exhibit of portraits, and unbeknownst to me, I was one of them.
I love it. So the photo that I put up, if you go to our Facebook page, is Peter in front of Peter.
Yeah, in front of a portrait photograph.
Then and now.
And it was about 20 years ago. It was at Fermi 2. It was a protest. So you can see the Fermi 2 cooling towers. You can also see me without any gray in my beard. And you can also see me with longer hair.
Yes.
And also a full beard, too.
Yeah. You're looking right. Pretty groovy.
Yeah. In fact, well, never mind. Anyway, this is, there's like, I think, at least, well, no, there's got to have been more than 20. So I was just a small part of it. But there's a whole section of stuff on Patti Smith, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Award winner who spent so much time in Detroit. And
yeah, she was just here.
Yeah, and just regular old people on the street. So we didn't even say where it is, though. It's at the Bowl, B-O-L-L, Bowl Family Y. It's in the lobby gallery, and it's downtown, Grand River and Broadway.
Okay.
Right near the Opera House.
And it's going to be there for a little bit.
Yeah, and I was downtown on Thursday night, and I was downtown, the next night, too, for that opening down there. And, given, people like me, you would never know that there's something wrong with Detroit. Detroit downtown, for people like me and other people similarly situated, that don't have to deal with the neighborhoods, that don't have to deal with lack of lighting and police response and what have you. Detroit is just happening. I mean, there is so much going on down there in Midtown. It's amazing.
Hard to find a place to park. It's great.
Well, most everybody was home, I guess, for the first Tigers playoff game.
Yeah.
And even still, the restaurants were like a third filled. And still, I found one on-street parking, and it was like $20 to park in a lot.
Heck yeah, when there's something going on.
So that's down there all the time. And I know that some of you that live north of 8 Mile Road, let alone way out what we call the boonies, probably what you call your town or your home, that the only time you ever get into Detroit is like for a ball game
or a hockey game.
Or something like that. But the whole joint is just popping all the time, all day, during the weekdays. They have, in Cadillac Square, that goes off of Campus Martius, they have now all these food kiosks. They have on the Riverwalk, the city has set up, well, actually, it's not the city. We can get to that in a second. The state and the River Conservancy or Riverwalk Conservancy has set out all these chaise lounges.
Wonderful.
So people are just hanging. It is so sweet.
Yeah, it's great. I love this city, and no matter the grim news that we often have to talk about on this show about Detroit, I love it here.
Yeah, and
I've said it before. I moved back from Miami, Florida, to come back to Detroit because I loved it and missed it so much. So boom, there you go.
Well, we will talk about Detroit a little later, but let's go back and revisit. Well, both the government shutdown. This is, such insanity. The Speaker John A. Boehner on Sunday said Republicans would not pass measures either to reopen the government or to increase the debt ceiling without compromise from President Obama.
Now, and President Obama is saying, I'm not compromising.
Yeah, and the idea is, people say, well, let's be reasonable. Let's compromise.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, why in the world would a compromise, it's like somebody running into your house and saying, hey, I'm sticking you up. Give me everything. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And they say, well, just give me a little. And you say, okay. So essentially that's what's happening. These Republicans are holding all of us hostage. And again, I'm relatively speaking in a favored position among a lot of people in this society, and I'm not bragging at all. I feel that nobody should have to suffer much of what the poor and the working poor and a lot of the working class, even some of the middle class, have to suffer. It just isn't fair. But we're getting to a point where, for instance, none of what's happened, the government shut down, hasn't affected me a bit. Has it affected you? No.
Emotionally?
Well, yeah, but not directly.
No.
But there are, besides the hundreds of thousands of workers that aren't working anymore and who aren't spending money at places where they would normally do it, and medical research that's stopped and people's vacations ruined and all of that, just because these whack job Republicans want to defund Obamacare. Now, this is a law.
That is just what it's about for those of you who are even questioning that.
Tell me what you think about what we're saying. 313-298-WRIF. This is a law that was passed by both houses of Congress. It was signed by the President of the United States. And what's going on now, and let me just say what's going on, and then I'll say something else about
what's going on.
Yeah. And that is, they want to get what's called a continuing resolution. You may hear they want a clean CR. What that means is that they don't want to muck it up with all these things about Obamacare and what have you. The government has to be funded. And what it is, the bill designated a certain amount of money to be spent on Obamacare.
Subsidizing health care for people who don't have it.
But so that's in the statute. But Congress, in the form of the House of Representatives, which is responsible for, getting money bills in going and all that.
Yeah.
They haven't done it yet. So what they're trying to do, they're going to say, here's a law of the land that they say they're not going to fund. And this is, the Republicans are so fundamentally undemocratic, and with a small D.
They're consistent, we'll give them that.
Yeah, yeah. They lost the election, they lost the popular vote in the, they even lost the popular vote in the House of Representatives, but they have so tinkered. Actually, the word
redistricted.
The word I want begins with an F and could end my career. have so messed with the political system that they're able to undemocratically have a vast majority in the House of Representatives, even though they lost the popular vote overall by about 5 million votes. So they're going to continue to not have a continuing resolution until they think they can blackmail the American people and the President of the United States and the Democratic Party in the Senate. Now, interestingly, Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada, who is the head of the Senate, suddenly it's out of my brain. What do you call
House Speaker?
No. Harry Reid, who is the Speaker of the Senate. What's he called? What's happening in my brain? Tick, 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 tick.
Crickets.
All right, crickets. Well, we'll get it in a second. Majority leader in the...
Thank you.
The majority leader in the Senate.
That's what I said.
Did you?
Yes.
I thought you said the House.
No.
Okay. All right. Anyway, but I actually even forgot what I was going to say with that.
Harry Reid, what did he do?
Harry Reid, he said that he thinks if John Boehner, who's the Speaker of the House, would allow an up and down vote on whether to fund the government, both houses of Congress have passed legislation that needs funding, that it would win. There's about 22 Republicans and all of the Democrats, and that would be enough to do it. But these Tea Party and these insane people that have somehow wound up in Congress are preventing this. Now, the headlines are Congress continues to squabble. I mean, to the point where more people support communism than give approval ratings to Congress.
That's rich.
I mean, for real. By the way, when you call 313-298-WRIF, you'll reach Jefferson. If you want to give us a hard time, don't give him a hard time.
Don't do it.
Yeah, no.
He's doing his job in there.
But I'm going to give Jefferson a hard time. Jefferson, I can't see the name or where people are from or what they're talking about.
Not a hard time. You're just
sitting. Yeah. Right. So we'll
fix that, Peter.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that are going on now. With this Congress continues to squabble. Congress isn't squabbling. The Republicans are doing something fundamentally undemocratic, the small d, that is against the very concepts of the way this country is run. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats are refusing to stand for it. They shouldn't compromise. There's nothing to compromise about. This is a resolution that would that every Congress passes to allow the continuation of government, and that things will be funded as they're supposed to be and statutorily designated a little while in the future.
Last week, remember, I said, oh, this is never going to happen. Remember I said
yeah.
that? Because
yeah.
I'm in disbelief at this whole thing.
Well, at 1 a.m., I'm going to air an interview with Dean Baker from, can't remember the name of his group, some one of these think tanks in Washington.
Is he with CEPR?
Hey, you rock, girl. Yeah, he just happens to be with CEPR.
It's the Economic Policy Research.
Well, it's got to start Center for Economic Research and Policy.
Yeah,
good. Yeah, .net.
Hey, CEPR, here you go, guy who wrote on Facebook that I have absolutely no value to the show. Booyah!
Well, anyways, this stuff about the squabbling Congress, and that's a phrase that you see used all the time in the media. For one thing, they don't want to appear to be supporting one side. I mean, they may have opinions, but so they and this works. They know that people are really frustrated with Congress in general. And so they're doing that. But also, they play into this widespread disgust with Congress, where really this never should have even been an issue. This is something that should have been done routine, that continuing resolutions to fund the United States has already been, with legislation already established. And the same thing now, it's coming up to this thing with this debt ceiling or debt limit.
Mm-hmm.
This always is raised, and without it,
and more times under Ronald Reagan than any other president since then. Did you know that?
No, but that's two in a row.
That's three.
Three?
Yeah.
You knew who Harry Reid was.
It's not even 11:15 yet.
Now, in 2011, the United States reached a point of near default. And that was because of Republican obstructionism.
Mm.
And the delay in raising that debt ceiling resulted in the first downgrade in the United States credit rating in history. This is what the Republicans have done for. And what happened then was a sharp drop in the stock market and an increase in borrowing costs.
That was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Four. 2013,
that's
2011,
five.
That's two. That's good. I like that.
You think I'm not paying attention to you half the time.
Right. One of the things, my favorite wacky right-winger listening, I listen about 5 minutes. I leave here, you know, at the people.
I don't even know where to find this.
I'm not going
to
tell
you. I want to. Don't tell me. Don't pollute my brain.
I couldn't even think of an answer. It took me a while. It was so insane. He was saying that Obamacare has nothing to do with health care. Nothing to do with providing health benefits for anybody.
Nothing.
It's part of this Democratic Party plot.
Oh, of course.
In order
Ooh.
To weld people to the Democratic
the
Party.
Oh,
right.
oh, to the. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Most people who need this are already pretty welded to the left.
Yeah,
I would say.
And Democrats.
And if they're
for sure.
not, their brains aren't thinking correctly.
Well, it doesn't make any sense on the face of it because the countries, for instance, that are ruled by parties on the right, everywhere from Canada to Germany to England, none of those folks, the prime ministers there, would dare to touch the full health care, the full boat health care. None of this insane Obamacare that was caused by the Republicans' obstructionism.
Yeah, the bureaucracy.
They just walk right in, sit right down.
They get her done and they get on out of there.
And Chancellor, I guess she's Merkel in Germany is not going to say we're rolling back health care, nor Prime Minister Harper in
that's how behind the times we are. And everything that we're going through right now, I thought long and hard about this. Well, it didn't take too much thought, actually, is that all of this is just a process. And someday we'll look back and be like, man, I can't believe it was so hard to get that passed. It's like kind of like looking back, man, I can't believe they didn't let blacks and whites get married, you know, just the whole thing.
Or vote. Yeah. And the other, the idea that having these, as they call them, government handouts, as rather than being a caring community,
care of the health of your people of your country.
One of the things, the lefty Christians that I know, that I have a lot of respect for, that they have a phrase that I just care so much for, and it's called the beloved community. And this is something that these righties have no concept of whatsoever.
None.
They just have their, you know, their...
It's all business, Peter. Yeah, nothing about it.
But here, the idea that Obamacare is not even about health care, but rather it's about welding the people with what the righties call handouts, what everybody expects up and down the class structure in every other industrialized country in the world, doesn't work because Social Security and Medicare goes to people over 65. Those people vote Republican. I mean, this guy was saying...
At this point, at this juncture, anyway.
This righty on the air was saying that because of things like Social Security and Medicare, that this made people support the Democratic Party. Well, how come these older people don't do it?
This guy's out of his mind. Yeah, a friend of mine moved to Spain, probably... 8 to 10 years ago, and then she reached out to me, and because I told her I don't have health insurance, I'm going to. Hey, anyway, she told me, she said, Julene, you know, she looks over here like we're a bunch of dinosaurs, you know, our system is just so archaic, and she tells me about the benefits that she receives. It's amazing.
Yeah. Listen, I wanted to talk a little more, but we've got Mike on the line. He's calling from Windsor and wants to ask about the photographs I was talking, the portraits down at the Bull Family Y. And Mike's calling from Windsor. Thanks for making our show international. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, sorry to be a little off topic.
That's
here,
okay.
But,
no, we don't mind.
Because
that's
one of the photos is of me, so I'm perfectly...
That's on topic.
That's on topic.
Hence, that's the topic. Yeah, you're saying you're protesting Fermi.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. I mean, like, you seem like a little bit of a leftist.
What do you mean a little bit?
That's so insulting.
Yeah, what do you mean a little bit?
Just slightly. How's that?
Okay. No.
That's tongue-in-cheek there,
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like your show. I've been listening to your show for a long time. Anyways, you're protesting, like, green power, and that doesn't really make sense.
Nuclear power is the exact opposite of green power.
Come on now.
Are you joking?
People are going to think we, you know, they're what they call in carnivals a shill, you know, that we're just trying to get everybody upset.
Right.
Come on. What do you know what's happening?
He's
up in,
joking. Come on.
Are you joking?
Well, come on! It's got no emissions. It's no carbon footprint. I mean, it's perfect.
That's right. It's perfect.
Yeah. Except, what do you do when? Where do you store it?
Yeah, there's a little problem up at Kincardine.
For 3 million years.
Talking about Ontario, eh? Up in Kincardine, they're trying to figure out where they're going to put all that waste, and they're talking about putting it right near Lake Huron. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, sure. Just like the windmills. That's a great idea too. They work well.
They actually kind of do.
Yeah, they don't do. What's the problem? The windmills are.
That is green technology.
That is green technology.
So you got this all.
And there's no. And there's
I'm
no
confused.
Radioactive waste.
Yeah. But, radio.
Yeah, I'm telling
active.
You, these windmills, I mean, they don't crank out. Half the time, they're not even spinning. There's no infrastructure made for it. I mean, they were built, and the rest of it wasn't built. You can't build something halfway. You know, I mean,
well, I agree. And what Canada ought to do is...
Yeah, let's make it better.
This,
let's
Mike,
make them better.
Here's what Canada ought to do is disband entirely its army, because it doesn't need one whatsoever, and take all that money and put it into...
Windmills!
Windmills and all other forms of alternative energy.
Canada is so cool!
And healthcare. You don't need an army.
I don't think I've ever met a...
We got your back!
An anti-environmentalist
Canadian
in my life.
I mean, if the Chinese decide to invade as a way to get at the United States, the Chinese invade Canada first, I got to tell you, Mike, we got your back.
Yeah.
All right, man. Have a great night.
At least he's fun. He was enjoyable on some levels.
All right, let's take a few of these calls, and then I got a long thing. I mean, let me just what we call in the biz. No, it's a tease. This is interesting. Where did this whole idea to defund Obamacare and shut down the government come from? I mean, I know some of you think from just listening to the news and all that, it just came from the crazy tea baggers, right?
There's more to the story.
More to the story. All right. Here, I'm sorry, I can't see your name on the board, but you say you have questions about universal health. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mitch. How you doing?
Hey, Mitch. Welcome.
Maybe I'm far-reaching, but like most of the American public, I have a few questions about the Universal Health Care Act.
Wait, it's not universal health care.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's just...
Affordable.
Affordable.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
You have questions. I hope you're not going to ask me to answer any of them. Go ahead.
We know some stuff about it.
Go ahead.
So.
Go ahead.
Well, what I don't understand is I know that affordable health care is going to be brought to everybody, correct?
No, but go ahead. I mean, I'll talk about that later. It's going to be to a lot of people, millions and millions of people, because of the Republicans are going to be the poorest people, the poorest working people, people that are working are not going to be able to have access to it because of the Republican Party. But go ahead.
Okay.
Lots of more. Lots of people.
Is the accessibility to health care going to bring the health care costs down for the people? Or because I know you're going to be penalized without the health care. I won't have health care here in 6 months. I will be on my own. I turn 26, so I have to buy my own.
Okay.
And what I'm kind of wondering is what the cost is going to be associated, because I know the premiums are pretty high right now.
There's
are
different levels.
Down?
There's different levels, and it goes by, it's like, what is it, platinum, gold, and...
They got four precious metals.
Four precious metals, and it just depends on how much you want to pay out of pocket. So that's part of it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you.
It depends on how much money you make.
When something isn't easily understandable, I got to tell you this, and people, you know, like, we're big supporters of it, but I have to say, when things are not easily understandable, that an average person, and, you know, I hate to tell you this, including me, can't easily understand it, there's something inherently wrong with it. And what's inherently wrong with it, it's just so bureaucratic, so confused, so many different levels. And again, this is not what was, it was not its intent. But because of, again, you talk about compromise, the compromises that the Republicans forced the Democrats and President Obama to make.
To make it this way.
It came
and now
out,
they don't even want it this way.
Yeah, now it came out. And, you know, this stuff, by the way, which is, you may have heard the show before, this is essentially what Mitt Romney put into place in Massachusetts, and they called it Romney Care. And it's just like the same exchanges, except under his deal, I think something like 97% of the people in Massachusetts now have health care. But I forgot to put my website up. But if you do this, if you go to my website, if you can remember this, and if you can't, my name is Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E.com. There's something I just put up there called A Guide to the New Exchanges for Health Insurance. And it answers a lot of the questions. But I got to tell you, even with this, I'm going over it and thinking, what? What? Part of it is that it's new. and it's got a lot of wrinkles. People, in fact, I'd like to hear from people, wouldn't we, Jalene? Like to hear what experiences, because October 1st, people were calling and they couldn't get through.
Yeah, and the websites were crashing.
Yeah, I mean,
there were glitches.
4 million people actually tried to sign up. All right, so I don't know. That probably doesn't put you at ease.
That will help. But one more thing about the guy from Canada. Is he serious about it being safe to drop nuclear waste into Lake Superior, I thought he said?
Yeah.
Or is he just, where the hell does he come up with that?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Let me tell you one other thing, though. What you're about to launch, when you go to this, healthcare.gov?
That's yes.
Maybe even best go there. Healthcare.gov.
That's what they suggest.
Because there's already a lot of scamsters trying to rip people off. So healthcare.gov is the best place to go for information about Obamacare. Is that it shouldn't be this hard. It should be an easy thing. So like if you're a Canadian citizen or British or French, anything like that, as a matter of being a citizen, a matter of the nation collectively caring about its citizenry, it's just there, and it doesn't you don't have to go through all this. But like Jalene has said a number of times, that this is the start, and what has to happen is it has to be made smoother. And what I was thinking would be the greatest thing, and this happens in other countries, you have patient advocacy groups. And I'm not saying that you need to go out and form one or join one tomorrow, but eventually that there's people that say, look, this is good. We want it expanded. This really sucks. We've got to get rid of this. We have to do this. We have to do that. In other words, those of us that are directly affected are the people that are intervening in order to make this what every other country worthy of calling itself number one, because all these other countries say they're number one too. All right, thanks a lot. Good luck on it, and call me back when you figure out something, or unfortunately don't figure out something. Thanks for your call. 313-298-WRIF. Let me get one more call in before I take a break. Here's Corey in Detroit. Corey, hi. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
We're good.
Hey, so I hear you guys say that you're big supporters of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, actually, we would be bigger supporters of a single payer, so we're not necessarily big supporters of it. We're supporters of heading in that direction toward a single payer.
Healthcare. Okay, because I was a little bit confused, because within the same breath you said that you didn't know too many details about it and had to call up with questions about it.
No.
I sort of did.
Peter said that.
I can't answer all this. Here, like, it's on my website. And it's called A Guide to New Exchanges for Health Insurance. And they tried to put this, in the simplest terms possible. And if I started reading this, you'd probably go, what? So.
Well, I'm a systems engineer, and I know that the best systems are the simplest systems.
Sure.
So if it's hard to even explain to people, I have doubts about the ability of it to be effective if people don't even know what's going on with it.
Well, that's
going to
happen. That's always going to happen when something starts, something begins. And the fact that what we said earlier, Peter said it, the Republicans took what would have been a much more simple system and made it complicated.
Although I agree with you, Corey. I do indeed agree. And go ahead.
I'm sorry if I may. I'm trying to be quick with you. We don't trust the NSA with our phone data and our internet data. In fact, we're all up in arms about it, rightfully so. So how do we trust government with our medical data?
Well,
I don't understand that.
You either have or had grandparents, right?
Yes.
Weren't they on Medicare? What would be essentially what we're talking about is Medicare everyone.
We have a government that's been lying to us about what
since 1789.
Since the beginning.
Right. Well, maybe if it's been doing something and we have all these problems, we should try to fix that then.
I agree. There's a friend of mine in a band called the Layabouts, and they have a song called Government's Lie. And they said, we're not talking about some of them. We're talking about every one of them. I got to take a break, but I share some of your concerns, believe that I do. But on the other hand, too, every other industrialized country and some non-industrialized countries have this.
This is more sad, right?
Yeah, this is what Mitt Romney put in, and the system itself, although it wasn't quite this complicated, but the Heritage Foundation, a conservative group, put this into being. I mean, if you're on the other hand, I mean, sometimes if you tend towards the libertarian end of it, maybe you wouldn't even agree with that. But Corey, thank you very much. I got to take a break. Thanks, and we'll be back. I want to tell you how this budget crisis and this defund Obama movement came about, and guess what brothers were involved. Right back.
You're listening to Night Call with Peter Werby and Julian Jordan on 101 WRIF. Let your opinion be heard. Call us at 313-298-WRIF.
Whatever's going on, it seems to be far from over.
Peter and Julian will be taking more of your calls right after this.
All you ladies and gents out there enjoying the smooth sounds of the interwebs radio, Geico's got a special dedication to make. This one goes out to the inventors of the mouse. Because of you and your rodent-inspired design, people can click on over to Geico.com to pay their bills, manage their claims, and live lives of pure savings. Mouse Masters, you've clicked your way into our hearts for good. Enjoy this next song. It's going out to you. Geico, 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
In a world where one city has declared bankruptcy, heroes will be born. A radio station with no fear will send its entire air staff to accompany listeners to the most sinful destination on the planet. Who will make it out of the Las Vegas desert alive? This November, coming to radios everywhere, it's Sin City Takeover 4, The Reckoning. Starring Dave Hunter, Academy Award nominee Chuck the Freak, Lisa Way, Grammy winner Screamin' Scott, 18-time Meltdown's favorite radio personality award recipient, Meltdown, and Ann Cardini. The week will fall, and champions will rise. Keep it locked on WRIF for your chance to change your destiny. Join these fools as they broadcast and party live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino Hotel and see Nine Inch Nails live at the Joint. It's the Sin City Takeover 2013 from WRIF.
Presented by Speedy Auto Service. Any repair, any vehicle, anytime. That's the Speedy Advantage. Visit SpeedyAutoservice.com. Also brought to you by Tennyson Chevrolet.
Details at WRIF.com.
It's football season at Buffalo Wild Wings, and there's no other place that packs in the action like we do. When there's a timeout during a game, you're watching another game. And when you're not watching that game, you're watching another game. With over 50 big screens, your eyes won't miss any of the action, and neither will your taste buds. You'll enjoy hand-spun wings in 16 signature sauces and 5 seasonings, ultimate nachos, burgers, and over 20 beers on draft. Maybe action-packed is a bit of an understatement.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
You know how in spy movies, the hero always has high-tech gadgets that help him save the day? Like x-ray glasses or a grappling hook wristwatch. Well, now the eSurance mobile app lets you save the day if you're ever in an accident. Only instead of scaling walls, you can start a claim, upload a few photos, and get your money fast. That's way cooler than an exploding pen. eSurance. Insurance for the modern world. Now back by Allstate. Click or call.
Visit eSurance.com or call 1-800-ESURANCE for a quote. Not available in all states or for all claims. Allstate products are not available through eSurance.
Do you owe the IRS? Do you have unfiled tax returns? Have you received a wage garnishment or bank levy? Maybe a lien has been filed against you. OMG Tax can help you with all your IRS tax problems. Don't wait another second. Take action now. Call my team at OMG Tax. Honest and professional, we don't make false promises. If you owe back taxes or if the IRS is garnishing your paycheck, you need help now. OMG Tax can help you get your life back to normal. If you're serious about handling your tax matter, call OMG Tax now and get the peace of mind you deserve. Don't let the IRS take your next paycheck. Stop waiting and call our team at OMG Tax. OMG Tax has a straightforward, no-nonsense approach and has helped many Americans resolve their IRS nightmare. Call OMG Tax now.
Call 1-800-430-5474. That's 1-800-430-5474. 800-430-5474.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF. Voice your opinion at 313-298-WRIF. That's 313-298-9743. Here are Peter and Julie.
All right, thank you very much. And we're talking about Obamacare and whether it makes sense for this country. I think the majority of people do. Some people are very frustrated about it. The Republicans that have shut down the government because of their opposition to it after they were defeated democratically with a small d, they want to go through this backdoor route of essentially holding the country hostage. Either they get their way, President Obama has to compromise. He doesn't have to compromise.
850,000 people aren't getting paid right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. And this starts to erode the economy in general. My website, Peter Werbe, WERBE.com, you can do a lot of stuff on it or find out a lot about it. Obamacare. There's Obamacare Women's Health Services, which are pretty amazing. And you can click in this one box to join the Obamacare Facts mailing list. There's a guide to the new exchanges for health insurance to help you figure out what it's about. And the right-wingers have been going crazy spreading all these untrue rumors, bringing back, I forgot her name. I love it when I forget their name. What's it?
Michelle Bachmann.
No. Way up north.
Oh, Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin. Remember her?
Oh, God.
Everybody was afraid she was going to become president and turn a country into... That was there.
Well, it was scary.
Yeah, she was talking about these death panels.
Yeah.
And they're bringing that back and all that.
She threw some doozies out.
I've got an article by my guest at 1 a.m., Dean Baker, called Obamacare, It's Better Than You Think, although he, like Jalene and I, think that it doesn't go far enough by a long shot at all. So the government is shut down. Boehner and the Republicans are holding the country hostage until they get their way because they couldn't get it in the constitutional manner, so they're going the backdoor route. But, you know, this didn't just happen. Incredible article today in the New York Times, yesterday I guess it was, called A Federal Budget Crisis Months in the Planning. I mean, everybody was saying this is, let's not say everybody. Certainly the Democrats didn't want it at all. The Republicans said they didn't want this. Here's the story. Shortly after President Obama started his second term, a loose-knit coalition of conservative activists led by former Attorney General Edwin Meese III gathered in the Capitol to plot strategy. Mm. He was the attorney general under Reagan, involved in scandals, was part of the big push to get the U.S. involved in the Iraq War. Just an absolutely horrible man. Their push to repeal Mr. Obama's health care law was going nowhere, and they desperately needed a new plan. You ready for this? Out of that session, held one morning in a location the members insist on keeping secret, came a little notice, quote, blueprint to defunding Obamacare, signed by Mr. Meese and leaders of more than three dozen conservative groups. It articulated a take-no-prisoners legislative strategy that had long percolated in conservative circles, that Republicans could derail the health care overhaul if conservative lawmakers were willing to push fellow Republicans into cutting off financing for the entire federal government.
Wow.
So this is this.
It's really not shocking, but
yeah.
I had not heard anything about this.
Neither had I. Last week, the country witnessed what had happened, a standoff that had shuttered much of the federal bureaucracy. To many Americans, the shutdown came out of nowhere, but interviews with a wide array of conservatives show that the confrontation that precipitated the crisis was the outgrowth of a long-running effort to undo the law, the Affordable Care Act, since its passage in 2010, waged by a galaxy of conservative groups with more money, organized tactics, and interconnections than is commonly known. Now, here's the... Here's the word here. Long-running effort to undo the law. Usually what people do when they don't like a law, they want to repeal it.
Yeah, it's a legal term, right?
And that what that means is that you gain a majority in both houses and you have a president that'll sign it. You don't sabotage it. You don't, and particularly something like this.
Unless you're dirty.
Yeah, unless you're dirty.
And you're shady.
You're real dirty. With polls showing Americans deeply divided over the law, conservatives believe that the public is behind them. Although the law's opponents say that shutting down the government was not their objective, the activists anticipated that a shutdown could occur and worked with members of the Tea Party caucus in Congress who were excited about drawing a red line against a law they despise, those teabaggers.
They got to get out. They got to get them out of there.
A defunding toolkit created in early September, including talking points for the question, what happens when you shut down the government and you're blamed for it? The suggested answer was the one that House Republicans give today. We're simply calling to fund the entire government except for the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Okay.
Enter the billionaire Koch brothers. That's K-O-C-H.
How could we forget?
If you don't know who they are, it would be worth your while to find out. It's K-O-C-H. Just go to Google or something like that and put in Koch brothers, and you just will be shocked. The billionaire Koch brothers, Charles and David, have been deeply involved with financing the overall effort. A group linked to the Kochs, they have all these front groups. Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce dispersed more than, ready for this, $200 million last year to nonprofit organizations involved in the fight.
Wow. In other words,
they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars these are billionaires.
Businessmen.
$200 million. If you took away, in terms when you round things up or down, you took $200 million away from either of these guys, let alone the two of them together, they would still have the same amount of money.
As we often say.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where that fine line of business and politics, this is the gleaming example.
You would think, though, with the billions that they have, that they would say, okay, we will set the standard in our power plants for the cleanest energy.
But they're not good people.
They're
awful people.
They really are awful
people. It's
just
not within their general makeup.
And you can hear it when you talk to ordinary citizens, someone who says, I don't want my tax dollars going to some crackhead with 12 children. Or I don't want a couple guys that play handball.
And I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Just these mean-spirited people that have, that their compassion level hovers around zero.
Yeah, it's actually in the negative.
They are not part, they don't have the capacity, they don't have the psychological capacity to be part of the beloved community.
Right, it's so true. It makes me sick. And to blanket an entire population of people because
sure.
they don't have money is just, that is so shameful.
It's like the 19th century.
Where do you learn this? Who told you this?
I mean,
what made
you
so heartless?
One of the things that came out of the 60s was respect for everybody. You know?
Peace and love, man.
These guys are like 19th century. Absolutely.
And these are people in their 20s and 30s. Some of them.
Yeah. Well, the guys I was talking to were in their 60s. But the Koch brothers gave $5 million to Generation Opportunity that had this internet advertisement showing a menacing Uncle Sam figure popping up between a woman's legs during a gynecological exam. Did you see that?
No.
It is. I mean, you think that maybe it's a joke. It's so stupid and so badly done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's see. The groups have also sought to pressure vulnerable Republican members of Congress with scorecards, and it goes on and on. Oh, yeah. One sample Twittering offering, Obamacare is a train wreck, is a common refrain for Speaker John A. Boehner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that it's going to take away jobs. That's his other big, big one.
Yeah. Some of these.
It's a job killer, is
what
he said.
Some of these conservative businessmen have been using it as an excuse to cut people's hours back, to be absolutely sure.
Oh, they've already been at that, This just gives them,
Yeah. Well, let's get back to our phones. The only thing that surprises me, I think in both of these, both weeks we've been talking about this, we haven't had anybody that's called 313-298-WRIF and said, I tried to call to sign up for Obamacare and couldn't get through, or I called and got through, or I went on the internet and I got a blank screen, or, hey, it was easy
as
pie.
Well, it just happened. I don't even think it had gone through last week, had it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It's the first, and today's the sixth.
Oh, so it hadn't gone.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But how did we know there were problems with it, though? I don't know. Anyway.
Because we knew there would be.
We're pressing. Yeah. Well, 4 million people have already tried, and I've talked to any number of people in ages that are still eligible for being under their parents up till 26. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that Obamacare has done. People into their 50s and early 60s are going to sign up for it, but not one of them has done it yet.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
You don't want to go to the post office after it's been closed on Friday or something like that, right? Because everybody's, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I'll wait till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's Mark in Belleville. Mark has a question about Obamacare. Okay, I'll go ahead, Mark. What is it?
Hello, how you doing?
We're good. Thanks.
Good. I do have a quick question. If it's such good health care, why has Obama exempted the government from having it? And why has he exempted certain corporations that are his buddies? Except from healthcare. Why
come well, you're watching too much Fox News, is your...
Where'd you hear this?
I was listening to a lady who was on an AM station who was talking about Obamacare and how it's gonna...
Well, I can imagine first off, it was the Republican insistence that Congress be exempted from it. And this whole thing about the exemptions, again, it's a flawed system. I mean, what we need is Medicare for everyone. And it's going to have inherent glitches because of the way it's structured. But what's your idea for the tens of millions of people that get virtually no health care now at all? If you don't want to do it.
That's not true. That's not true, though, because anybody in America without health care can go into any hospital right now, and they have to be seen by a doctor.
Well, yeah. What they do is they go into emergency care. What Obamacare is, it has...
Is preventative care,
cancer screening, has all this stuff for women.
Pregnant women.
Why do you think we're the only...
Gynecological, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think we're the only country, the only other industrialized... The only...
The
only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a full government health care program.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely true.
Listen, England just a year and a half ago come out publicly and stated, hey, socialized medicine doesn't work. Bankrupt our country. We're quitting socialized medicine.
No, they did not quit socialized medicine. They still have it.
Let me ask you a question.
My friend just had a baby over there.
Do you know who the Prime Minister of England is?
What do you do when you quit? What do you do when you run out of spending other people's money?
What do you mean other people's money?
Clearly he doesn't know who the Prime Minister is.
Yeah, you don't know who the Prime Minister is, so you're making all these comments about England. You didn't even know who the hell the Prime Minister is. Who's the Prime Minister of Canada?
He's a socialist is what I know.
No, he's actually a right-winger.
He's a right-wing conservative, and there's no way in the world that he would ever try to get rid of Canada's...
Okay, that's two strikes.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's the president of France? Never mind. We won't go there. Listen, it works in every country. You know, is there problems in some of these countries?
This is what we're dealing with here, Peter.
Yeah, there's problems in these countries like England because, you know why? Because they spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on military, on an atomic weapons force and all that. What they need to do is divert some of that money into where, because all that money, you know, that, who do you, don't you think that Lockheed and all the rest of those military contractors that really waste all our money and are corrupt as hell and are always involved in scandals, that's our money. That's where our money is going. And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bases overseas that we don't need and on like that.
I got a question for you. So what we should do is, like England, take the guns away from the good people so only the bad people have the guns.
You know, pal, I don't know what the hell you are talking about.
This is the second most confusing call of the night.
Yeah. whatever. Do you have health care?
Well, yeah, my company just sent me a letter saying that I cannot get the Cadillac plan anymore. Because they sent me a letter, my company did, saying I used to get the Cadillac plan.
Yeah.
They offered. They said they are no longer going to offer it because they're going to be taxed four times the amount than the cheap plan. So they're only offering the one cheap plan.
Is this through a union contract?
No.
Okay. Listen. If there is negative things about it, that has to be changed. That has happened with some, big, policies. I don't even know what's going to happen, with mine here at work. But that should not be in
it. I've done a lot of reading that it's not going to affect it at all.
Okay. Well, that'd be good. But you just said it would. But if you're in Canada and you've got anything wrong or you've got, little thing or big thing, you walk into the services. The same thing in England, the same thing in France, and it works. You don't have millions and millions and millions and millions of people without it. And if you're worried about where your tax dollars are going, you're being ripped off by the corporations, not by, by the person at the fast food counter or somebody that's taking care of sick elderly people. All right. Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate your call. All right. One of our favorite cities, Dan in San Francisco. Dan, hi. You're on the air. Welcome.
No, it's David.
Oh, David.
David,
yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
I thought we had a second. I was all excited.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's interesting these talking points about bankrupting America. These guys, as if they cared. You know, the neocons. It cracks me up. You know, when they talk, for example, about getting rid of the post office on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, you remember, if you're getting a paycheck, quite often it comes on a Saturday. So, now, who in their right mind would want to make sure that you couldn't get a paycheck on a Saturday so you could spend it on Saturday night?
Did I not mention that, Peter?
Yeah.
Getting checks in the mail on a Saturday,
sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, these guys, it's obvious that not only are they bad businessmen, but if it doesn't come on a Saturday, then there's going to have to be this extra burden that's going to come on Monday. So they're not only fools, but they're liars. But, you know, what I was interested in with the shutdown of government is, you know, it's pretty obvious that with Citizens United, for the people that are listening don't understand it, is that Supreme Court-approved arrangement so that now the super rich can give secret money to politicians.
Yep.
Now,
I don't even think it's secret.
Yeah, no, they don't have to identify who the donor is. Yeah, no disclosure.
Okay.
Yeah. And now, who in their right mind would ever believe that America would succumb to a system where secret money to politicians was a good idea? But that's what the Supreme Court has approved. But now, with the subprime lawsuits, you know, all of the financial collapse of 2008 and all afterward, there are huge amounts of lawsuits against the banks, against the financial institutions, whatnot, and there are a huge amount of lawyers that are working for Department of Justice, Security Exchange Commission, Fannie Mae, HUD, all trying to get our money back. Now, if they shut down government, that means that those lawyers are laid off. And when you start fooling around in the courts demand that you set out an answer, you set out a question, and then the other party has got to answer within 20 days. And then there's a back and forth. Every 20 days, there's got to be a back and forth. You start laying off these lawyers for a month or so, all of a sudden, all of these back and forths are going to be thrown, and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of lawsuits could be thrown because these neocons have shut down government.
Well, there's more, and there's every aspect of our life, all these lawsuits that have been filed by groups trying to, for instance, just one thing, shutting down polluting cement factories have been put on hold. A year after Hurricane Sandy, the FEMA doesn't have the money to advise states on how to plan for the next natural disaster. And
there's a lot of environmental regulation that's not going on right now.
Right.
Because of this.
They've stopped work on these 500 Superfund sites that have been polluted so badly by these dear corporations, where people, the people that are trying to deal with the industrial residues in our drinking water, all of that, it's all put on hold. So these fanatics, these right-wing fanatics, can get their way. All right, David, as usual, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes.
We've got some open lines. And by the way, Mark was one of our callers was all upset that it seemed like poor people were going to get something. You know?
Oh,
I mean,
the
corporations are really who gets it. But I'll give you some news when we come back to put his mind at ease.
Oh,
you are listening to Nightfall with Peter Werby and Julene Jordan on 101 WRIF. Peter and Julene are taking your calls at 313-298-WRIF.
That's what we do.
We'll be taking more of your calls right after this.
Clipping coupons. Standing in line at 4 a.m. Buying five to get one free. Maybe it's me, but I don't think it should be that hard to save money. Which is why we made Geico.com so easy. Just a few clicks and you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And when you switch to Geico, you can do practically everything online. Report a claim, update your policy, even pay your bill. Click bam boom. Visit Geico.com today. Click bam boom. I'm rather fond of that one.
In a world where one city has declared bankruptcy, heroes will be born. A radio station with no fear will send its entire air staff to accompany listeners to the most sinful destination on the planet. Who will make it out of the Las Vegas desert alive? This November, coming to radios everywhere, it's Sin City Takeover 4, The Reckoning. Starring Dave Hunter, Academy Award nominee Chuck the Freak, Lisa Way, Grammy winner Screamin' Scott, 18-time Meltdown's Favorite Radio Personality Award recipient Meltdown, and Ann Carlini. The weak will fall, and champions will rise. Keep it locked on WRIF for your chance to change your destiny. Join these fools as they broadcast and party live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino Hotel and see Nine Inch Nails live at The Joint. It's the Sin City Takeover 2013 from WRIF.
Presented by Speedy Auto Service. Any repair, any vehicle, anytime. That's the Speedy Advantage. Visit SpeedyAutoservice.com. Also brought to you by Tennyson Chevrolet.
Details at WRIF.com.
Do you owe the IRS? Do you have unfiled tax returns? Have you received a wage garnishment or bank levy? Maybe a lien has been filed against you. OMG Tax can help you with all your IRS tax problems. Don't wait another second. Take action now. Call my team at OMG Tax. Honest and professional, we don't make false promises. If you owe back taxes or the IRS is garnishing your paycheck, you need help now. OMG Tax can help you get your life back to normal. If you're serious about handling your tax matter, call OMG Tax now and get the peace of mind you deserve. Don't let the IRS take your next paycheck. Stop waiting and call our team at OMG Tax. OMG Tax has a straightforward, no-nonsense approach and has helped many Americans resolve their IRS nightmare. Call OMG Tax now.
Call 1-800-430-5474. That's 1-800-430-5474. 800-430-5474.
Yes. WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Hi, Rev.
Hi, it's Gloria.
Gloria, you're going to Sin City.
Am I really? Oh, I'm so excited.
WRIF Sin City Takeover 2013. Learn more and sign up for your totally unfair Rift Cyber Crew advantage now at WRIF.com.
Peter and Jolene, you're listening to Night Call, the Rift award-winning talk show on 101 WRIF.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back to our second hour. We're talking a lot about Obamacare, and Mark called in, and he was concerned that that his tax money was going to those people. We don't want to deconstruct that too much, but the idea that somehow that all these poor people are suddenly going to get health care, but it goes pretty far.
It's like, they're going to be, members of our society? You're going to recognize them now?
What are they?
In a negative way?
I think it is like 44,000 people a year die unnecessarily because of lack of access to health care.
That's right.
But we'll be talking more about that, at least I will, in about an hour with Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington. And he's going to talk about the benefits of Obamacare and the startup problems that it's experiencing. Also, David Bacon has written an interesting book, The Right to Stay Home, How U.S. Policy Drives Mexican Migration. In other words, these folks, I got a good idea. Let's leave our home and go through these deserts and have everybody hate me and have the immigration. What does ICE stand for? Okay, this will be like seven. Immigration control and enforcement.
You get this one.
Probably that one. Yeah. But here, just so Mark, you don't feel bad. Here's all these poor people. Millions are going to be left uncovered by Obamacare. A sweeping national effort to extend health coverage to millions of Americans will leave out two-thirds of poor black people, two-thirds of single mothers, and more than half of low-wage workers who do not have insurance, the very kinds of people that the program was intended to help. Well, how in the world could that happen? Because they live in states that are controlled by Republicans.
Yeah, I was saying we don't want this.
And ones who have declined to participate in the vast expansion of Medicaid, the medical insurance program for the poor. They are among the 8 million Americans who are impoverished, uninsured, and ineligible for help. The government will pay for the expansion for the states through 2016 and then 90% of cost later on.
So they say no.
No, they don't want them to have it.
I wonder where those states are. You sure got a pretty mouth.
Okay, who are these people that want to be at the government teat? That, you know, the, well.
Did you say what?
I was coughing.
I know you weren't talking about tweeting.
No, the 26 states that have rejected the Medicaid expansion are home to about half of the country's population, but about 68% of poor, uninsured blacks and single mothers, different categories. About 60% of the country's uninsured working poor are in those states. Get that? Working poor. Among those excluded are about 435,000 cashiers, 341,000 cooks, and 253,000 nurses aides. In other words, these are workers. These are people that are working their butts off for us. And when I say for us, when we go in someplace and pay, we have this service industry. The people that cooks, you don't see, you go, oh, wow, this place, what great food it has. The person's making, you know, it's $7.75 an hour or something
and
like
And it's brutal as someone who went to culinary school.
Yeah.
My little bit of kitchen experience that I have.
And I was trying to find out where some of these places are. They're trying to cut workers off of this. They're saying go on to Obamacare. That we're not going to give you health insurance anymore.
Like which Walmart does in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, so in other words, this is why I can't imagine that Walmart and places like that didn't support universal health care coverage all along.
Yeah, because there's leaves even the notion that how they poorly they treat their employees when it comes to benefits.
Of course, they didn't have to because they never gave them health insurance to begin with. Yeah. I was trying to find that. Here. Despite criticisms, healthcare laws' impact on jobs is still unclear. It's not clear whether this is going to have an effect or not. Anecdotal reports about the law's effect on jobs have grabbed headlines over the past year. Major retailers like Trader Joe's and Home Depot said they would no longer provide coverage for part-time workers, instead having them buy it on the exchanges. But it's fine, except they ought to raise their wages then. Because,
so they can pay for it?
No. Raise the wages. Well, yeah.
Because it's not coming out of their pocket.
Yeah, What they're using this for, they're manipulating this. The rich are manipulating this.
Isn't Trader Joe's kind of a cool...
Yeah, because their signs look like chalkboards?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're deceiving me because they're also very friendly in there and everything's pretty reasonably priced.
A friend of mine works there and it has good health care for full-time employees. This guy just had a tire knee replacement.
They just
cut off your leg, right?
Yeah.
Literally slam a new little ball joint in there.
Oh, my God.
Sew you right up.
You know Starbucks, apparently that now they will help you go to college. You work there.
Really?
Yeah. They'll pay for, and I don't know if it's all of it, but my neighbor's little girlfriend works at Starbucks at Somerset, and she's going to the community college, and they're helping her pay for it.
Well, they're also, they got the money.
Redeeming themselves. Well, they also say you can't have guns in their stores anymore.
No.
Didn't they say that?
They ask their patrons not to bring their guns there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They have run some pretty nasty anti-union campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's that. There goes your argument. You're hoping I wouldn't bring that up.
Thanks a lot.
Let's talk about Belle Isle. I was talking earlier about how wonderful for people like me that are, in the middle class to go into Detroit, and also a lot of people that are living in Detroit, a lot of artists and artisans, a lot of people in these small startup companies. You know, you can, there's a watch and bicycle company in Detroit called Shinola.
Right.
You know, and there's an old saying.
Uh-huh.
Right, you don't know. From Shinola. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because Shinola used to be a shoe polish.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't know how they got the name, but they make some handcrafted bicycles and also handcrafted watches. So there's a lot of that going on. And billionaires, like Dan Gilbert are buying up stuff. The government's putting $300 million into the city, get rid of a lot of these houses that need to be removed.
The Urban Blight, no, remember the Brewster Project just came down.
That
one made me sad.
Somebody did you live there?
No, but I just have, I know the history of it, and a lot of famous people live there, and a lot of people live there.
They did. A lot of famous R&B artists did. But it was the pits. It was literally...
I know, but it's just, I don't know.
10-story basement.
I know it needed to go, but it just, I don't know.
Yeah. What else is going on? Oh, somebody just bought the Temple Hotel, which I'm not quite sure. It's on Temple and Cass, which is a pretty destroyed area. But people are building lofts, and I know people that are involved in that. So there's a real energy, but it still doesn't deal with the fact that there's that could be, if we're lucky, 10% of the city. The other people are in a lot meaner straits. The jobs aren't there. The transportation's not there. The first responders aren't there.
I mean, it took these CEOs of these corporations to buy all of the new fire trucks and police cars. And, you know, police cars are kind of scary as they are. Hey, guys and gals. These things are...
Have you seen the new ones?
I have.
They look like delivery,
the
cars.
Cop cars?
Yeah, have you seen? They got like big... What do they got? Big pictures all over them.
There's something else. They're interesting.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
They're kind of RoboCop-ish. That's how I felt.
You thought? I thought
maybe we saw different ones.
Yeah, I don't know. on the other hand, you ever seen the Pleasant Ridge police cars? Very small community just south of 10 Mile Road.
I'm sure I have.
Kind of upscale, upper middle class area. And they have, all of their cars have what they call ghost writing. I think it is. Any police officers out there, any Pleasant Ridge officers listening? It looks, you ever seen when people buy, like, old cop cars?
Yes.
And they ripped, and the police have ripped off the lettering so you can still just see the outline?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It's just faint. And I don't know whether they're trying to be, you know, like stealth and
discreet.
People aren't going to see them. But I don't get it.
I don't think there's... Well, I know there have been times where there have been break-ins in Pleasant Ridge, but I don't think there's a whole lot of crime going on in Pleasant Ridge. They don't need to invest in all that heavy-duty artillery.
I know people who live there. It was just a break-in. Oakdale Boulevard.
Is that the cars? Was that the ones in the cars? The cell phones in the cars?
Oh, no. That was another thing in Pleasant Ridge. People were, what do they call it? Apple picking. You're talking on your iPhone, and someone just runs up and grabs it.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it happened on Ridge Road.
I'd like to see them try that with my dog. That's all I got to say.
Your dog has an iPhone?
No, my dog would tear their head off.
They probably wouldn't. You wouldn't be, like, the target.
Plus, guess what? I don't have an iPhone.
I know.
So
even I have an iPhone.
I mean, I have a smartphone. I'm just not. I'm not a hipster like you, Peter.
Oh well, you know, I was given it.
And it's pink. Ooh.
Oh come on! Now you're busting me.
Let's do a vote. Should Peter get a new case?